And when do I?
It's coming.
Do I click this?
It's coming.
I know. Advance it.
Yes, you just click the button.
Okay. This is a generational thing. Hello, everyone. As you already found out, I'm Ann Rosen, and I coordinate health access programs at Community Partners in Amherst. And I have approved this message. Now, I'd like to start with just a brief introduction. Lindsay's been talking about some of the unique aspects of Massachusetts that can be a model or cannot be a model. I want to talk about one that we hope can be a model. One of the things that Massachusetts has that's really special, I think, is a statewide cadre of really well-informed health access workers who work together to go and find people who are eligible for the state-sponsored programs, to explain these complicated programs to them, to help them select the right option, and then to work with them to successfully apply and get enrolled. And then some of them after that continue to follow up these folks to make sure they actually connect with the care that they need. It started 12 years ago. These people are also, they're community-based. They're folks like community health workers, outreach workers, case managers and financial counselors in hospitals and health centers, intake counselors at human service agencies, anyone who regularly comes in contact with the population who needs these programs. And this started about 12 years ago, and I'll be talking about that a little bit more, but for the last 2 years, this group of people has just been slammed with all of these new programs and policies. And they've had 2 years of experience now, and we thought, since there have been lots of studies done recently to commemorate the two-year anniversary of healthcare reform, this is where Lindsay's gotten some of her numbers, we thought we would ask some of these folks who are in a really unique position, experts on the programs and then experts on the people in the communities that are getting the services or not from these programs, and see what they thought. So here's sort of the order of my talk, a little bit of history, and then I'm going to talk some about the Health Access Networks, which is Community Partners' contribution to this. Then we'll look at the outreach worker survey results and some key findings. Okay. About in the late 1990s, Massachusetts expanded its Medicaid program substantially. And at that time, Community Partners initiated a pilot program to, well, first I should explain that until that point, the outreach function was pretty institutionalized. State-employed outreach workers would go out to hospitals in their regions, and they would sit in a dark room somewhere, maybe an afternoon a week, and wait for people to come to them. So this was a new model called Healthy Connections, where community-based organizations, folks would take on as part of their regular work the work of signing people up for programs that I just described. It was based actually on the DPH outreach worker model, which is very that logic. Because of the reasons of therapy. They know the folks, they know how to explain things to them, they know what their difficulties are going to be, they can make them understand why the programs are important and what they ought to do to be successfully enrolled. So that was a great success, and the state, bless its heart, decided that it wanted to expand these programs, and the mini-grants that we were talking about came into existence. And a part of that was the state also decided that these folks really needed support. They're out there in the communities. They all work for different organizations. They don't have the same access to information. And we didn't want everybody reinventing the wheel. So the state supported what we call the Health Access Networks. And they basically were six regional once-a-month meetings. And they brought outreach workers from hospitals, health centers, human services agencies, providers, health plans, and I have to mention Healthcare for All. There's been somebody from Healthcare for All involved in every single meeting that we've ever had, and other advocates and representatives of the coverage programs all together in the same room, very informally, to first of all understand that we're all on the same side, and then to exchange information, preserve the information, community partners would then send it out. And most importantly, to bring the experience of the consumer into the process so that people, they, in a way, they would actually be in the room with the policy folks. Our role, basically, our main focus is to support outreach workers. And in addition to doing the hand meetings, we have a couple of other areas that we specialize in. One of the things that we learned at these meetings early on was that being successfully enrolled is no guarantee that you're going to get care. All sorts of things can happen between the time you decide, you discover that you're eligible and you're actually in a doctor's office. Your card can get lost, you can be assigned to the wrong primary care provider. All sorts of things can happen. The folks at our hand meetings were trying to help people with this, but they didn't have the time. Nobody really understood how much of a problem this was, and they didn't have the support to spend the time with their clients to solve these problems. So the first thing we did was a model program called Moving Beyond Enrollment, which I'm not going to discuss in detail, but if anybody wants to hear about it, I'd be glad to talk about it for hours, which basically funded them to spend the extra time, find out what these glitches were, figure out how, work with people in the system, figure out how to solve them, and get these people into care. That worked great. And then after that, we were fortunate enough to get funding to provide pilot sites with mobile technology so that these folks who were really full of resources and wisdom could take their offices out into the community to the bedsides of people who were shut-ins. We've had one outreach worker who had signed people up in his Jeep going around in hill towns with his Wi-Fi sniffer. And they had laptops and portable printers and scanners and an internet connection. And this also made a big difference so that this, all of this goodness was able to be used in brand new and creative ways. I want to mention here also that something else that happened at the same time that is in a way unique to Massachusetts was the implementation of our web-based application system called the Virtual Gateway. It's fantastic. And the combination of that and the mobile technology just had tremendous results. Now, a lot of the functions of the hand programs have been moved online since the internet, thank you, Roxanne, has become so widespread. And a couple of the things that we do are, as was mentioned earlier, we send out weekly emails, or a couple of times a week, taking program information or any other complicated information that we think would be useful to outreach workers, sort of funneling it through an outreach worker filter so that they can, and sending it out so they can instantly see what's going to be useful. Does this apply to my work? These are very, very people, busy people. They don't have a lot of time to read the fine print. And then we get information back from them through surveys, through our listserv, and we also have an outreach worker blog. They can communicate with each other and share their own wisdom through this organism. And then also something else that Massachusetts has, I think is, I don't know if it's unique, but it certainly is impressive, is that state program policy and operations people meet with the advocates at least once a month to talk about exactly these kinds of issues. And again, I would like to, one thing that that isn't on my slide but is tremendously important is Kate's helpline, the Healthcare for All helpline, which is where a lot of these issues and information about them is generated. Now, let's move to the survey. You should know that, contrary to most of the things here, it's not scientific. We distributed and collected the information just like 2 weeks ago, and it was sent out to about 1,200 people, but only people who directly work with people who are signing up for care were able to respond. So that's about 600 of them. And we got a 9% response, which is a pretty good response for a survey like that, particularly when a lot of the information is qualitative. You can't just say yes or no. And it's, the responses are from all over the state, so it was a common experience. Our first question was, what are the three biggest... Oh, we're missing a slide. We asked... Oh, I did? Okay, can I make it go back? Yes, thank you. How do you get your information, and did they understand the information? Because if you're rolling out new programs, which we constantly are, and the existing programs are constantly changing, the best way to make sure that it's going to succeed is to make sure that people understand it. And as you know, these things are extremely difficult to understand. So we thought we would find out how they learned about the programs. And what we discovered is, not surprisingly, the most effective ways were the ones where human beings were involved: outreach workers, financial counselors, etc. Thank you. The next question were, what are the three biggest barriers your clients experience in getting and keeping health insurance? And there's no surprises here. Well, first of all, I have to explain that there are some difficulties in the system that cause some of these problems. There are 152 different types of public insurance in Massachusetts, and our health care reform programs are involving both public insurance and private insurance plans. And each type of insurance has completely different principles. They have different regulations, and for example, there's no retroactive coverage in the private insurance plans, which can cause gaps because people move back and forth all the time. Also, the virtual gateway, as wonderful as it is, isn't totally electronic. You still have to send in paper signatures and verifications. So there is a glitch there of getting the electronic information and the paper information together. So the next question is, what are the biggest barriers they experience when it comes to seeing a doctor? And again, not surprisingly, this is a national problem. It's finding a provider who takes your plan and or is taking new patients. And the waiting time is certainly involved in the same respect. And as it says, there are quotes in the bottom, just to give you a texture of what what these folks were saying. Long waits for appointments and or great travel distances are what people have to experience when they can't see a provider. Another thing that's not a great surprise here is that low wage earning citizens are those who are being the most helped by health care reform. And one of the things that I thought was interesting, because outreach workers often are the people who have the frontline contact with folks who are really upset about the individual mandate, young, healthy folks primarily. The law, the mandate, has caused many people who are actually eligible to come forward and apply. Many of these people had not gone for health care services for years and didn't know they were eligible. Next question, what groups are not being helped by health care reform? And, of course, those who still can't afford the available options. And at this point, I'm just going to say that when we talk about 300% of the federal poverty level, that's about $31,000 for a single individual and $63,600 for a family of four. Those with unaffordable or inadequate employee-sponsored insurance, and then middle-class folks whose incomes are over the guideline. And what has most pleased you? As an outreach worker who's had to tell people in front of me, I can't help you, what our outreach workers are happiest about is that now there are more people that they don't have to say that to. And the fact that it's more affordable for an awful lot of people. I want to also mention the last quote. One of the things that pleased one outreach worker is the way they always try to work things around to fit those that are left behind. And that really moved me, because I know how hard everybody works, and sometimes we're sort of have an adversarial relationship with the state. But this is the experience out on the ground. What has most disappointed you? The fact that state systems are difficult to navigate. Many are left out of the state programs and unable to pay privately. And the lack of ability to get a primary care physician. Suggestions, now am I?
You're over.
I'm over, okay. Suggestions for improvement. You can read these. There are copies of the presentation if you want to see these on the end chairs here. But the one I like is, make it simple, cover everyone, And we do really feel that this would be a terrific model for other states, because you can't make such a complex system work without human beings who can interpret it to other human beings and help them actually make it real for themselves. Thank you.
Fellow APHA